Our Father, in whom all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden, unfold to us the right ideas at the right time, that we may become bearers of your light to bless and serve mankind. In Jesus' name, amen. So, look around you. To your left, to your right, behind you. You can take a little longer tonight. Look in their eyes. Let the Jesus in them see the Jesus in you and know that you were a match made in heaven. Right, and as we still come back around, close your eyes and we have our one word prayer for the night. Enthusiasm. Don't embellish it. Don't add to it. No verbosity, just enthusiasm. Just look at the person in front of you in your mind and think enthusiasm. Lord, we want to go home with enthusiasm. Then to the person behind you, enthusiasm. The person to your right, enthusiasm. Come back to the person on your left, enthusiasm. Just picture it pumping through their veins as we get ready to go back out into the world and become bearers of God's light to bless and serve mankind. So I woke up this morning at Geneva Point Center. My hip pushing in against the wafer-thin mattress, you know, is that the sore spot? Yeah, these are not rated for 300-pound men, I'm here to tell you. Kind of pressed into the boards with my hip, kind of my arm feeling that spot where the sheet had come undone, and I'm on that, you know, the blue striped vinyl grossness, all sticky, right? You know what I'm talking about? Ugh. So kind of peeling your arm away, you know how kind of like, ugh, you feel your arm give. I sat up to take my alarm clock from my wife, who had, I don't know, I told you I can sleep, right? That's still a skill. So she woke up and handed me my phone alarm clock. And initially this morning I was a little sad, because I knew that here began the beginning of the end. So I sort of climbed out of my bunk and ducked. I kind of have a little technique after the years of kind of reaching over, grabbing the other bunk, and not starting the day with a concussion. Began the process of my daily ablutions, loving how the electric toothbrush felt on my gums and gauging how much my kidney hurt today, because I knew the first thing my mom was going to ask is, how does your kidney feel today? And beginning a prayer to lengthen the day, to slow down time and just be here a little while longer. This place I love, this place near a lake, this place I call home. The world is scary. I hope that it's not really any scarier than it ever has been. I think that we look at the world in our time and we consider it to be the most scary and more scary than it's ever been. But it doesn't take much time in a history book to figure out that things have been really, really awful before and really, really awful for most of human history. And it's interesting that the things that we read that Glenn Clark wrote, I believe the piece that Dana was referencing in his quotation was written in 1955 about how CFO camps can change the world and what we can do. And honestly, it's funny, right? Or it's God-ish, I don't know. Tonight's talk was the one that when I got here last Saturday was most prepared. It was nearly fully written and constructed. And it was, I sort of called it a call to arms, you know, and I was going to shake my fist a lot and maybe beat on the podium and just tell you what it's all about. And it was this whole kind of reentry talk and this whole thing. And gradually today, lots of that has sort of receded from my need, right? I think that listening to a story last night about a 99-year-old woman who rediscovers her purpose and makes a difference in her world was enough for me to ask if her, why not me, right? If we can reposition and redefine and transform ourselves at 99 years old in Madam Edie's home, why not us, right? And I think you know that, and I do want people to go and think about who they should bring to CFO, or JFO, I guess, you know? Who should they bring to Winnie, right? I think all of us have that person that we get into the middle of something through this day and through this process, and we go, oh, Sally would love this, or John would love this, or Tom would love this, right? Think about those people. Reach out to those people. Send them a copy of I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes. Send them a copy of Soul Sincere Desire, right? Write them a note. Tell them about it. Invite them to a prayer group, right? I do believe that we can change the world from this process. I really, really believe that. And we sit here and we talk about all of these things, like the College Farthest Out and these camps and world peace. And, you know, Glenn used to talk about all of these things that we used to think were necessary evils. You know, yellow fever and polio and all of these things that used to just be facts of life and things we had to deal with. And we eradicated them. And there's lots of other things that if we put our hearts to it and our minds to it and our souls to it, I honestly believe we can eradicate. That said, I wish I could stay here a while longer. It feels good. I feel like, you know, I can see kind of the 2 or 3 week thing that Glenn built, right? I feel like it takes a week to get into the rhythm. I think it was Kirsten that said it would be nice if we could take the weekend off and come back next week. You know, I think I could get that, right? I could use a couple of nights on a proper bed that you know, wasn't an inch and a half thick. And the world is scary. And, you know, we feel so safe and secure and bound here. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the challenges of my job. I enjoy what I do at Rescue. I look forward to it. You know, I've got a big project going on at work. I can't wait to get back and see what they screwed up and, you know, what we have to do to fix it. But I still mourn for how quickly our time goes here, right? You know, it's like it takes forever. And this is, I think Lisa and I figured that out, right? It takes forever to get to stunt night. And then from stunt night, it's like over. So maybe if we didn't have stunt night, camp would just last forever. I'm just saying, we could try it. I promised you earlier in the week that I wasn't one of those musical speaking leaders, right? I wouldn't be the guy up here leading songs. That's not my thing. However, I'm struck and stirred by music. I especially find it interesting when I am so inspired by a non-sacred song. Right, just something that you hear on the radio or something that is rock and roll. And this week, I've been thinking a lot about one of my favorite musicians, a guy named Warren Zevon. He was a singer, songwriter, sort of a lower tier rock star. If you have heard of him, you may have heard Werewolves of London. That was kind of his big hit among a few other songs. His story, though, parallels a lot of, I think, what Barbara told last night and kind of a lot of what I've felt this week. He died very young. He was 56 years old. He died of lung cancer. But he faced it head on, recording in his waning months perhaps his best album. He said that he wanted to keep working. He tells stories in interviews of having moments of inspiration and getting on the phone with his bass player, while he was walking around at the grocery store because he'd think of something and he didn't want to miss the moment. He couldn't wait until their next meeting, so he would have an idea and he would call his collaborator. He works to the very end, and it was very clear that as he went out, he wanted to know what it felt like. He refused almost all treatment. It was one of those, you can have 6 months, 6 months to a year, or maybe we can make it 12 months to 18 months. And he made that choice. You know what? I'm going to work. I'm going to be me. I'm not going to suffer, right? That, I guess, quality over quantity, right? That's what I'm looking for. And he was a big guy on David Letterman. Everybody remember the David Letterman show? He went on there often, and towards the end of his time here with us on Earth, he did an episode with that was just him. David Letterman had only Warren on. And I love this, and it's a prayer that I pray a lot. So the backstory is that Warren hated to go to the doctor, and it had been all over 20 years since he'd been to a doctor when he was finally made by his dentist to go get checked out, and they discovered the cancer. Something that he later admitted was probably a bad idea. But on this show with David Letterman, David asked him, well, what have you learned from this? What would you impart? And his advice was simply, take the time to enjoy every sandwich, right? And that was kind of the way that he looked at this. He had a sense of humor about it, and he had an understanding. But to me, that is just, in its simplicity, unbelievable. Take the time to enjoy every sandwich, right? All of these little things that we take for granted, incorporate those. Bring them into our life. So now, if you will allow me, I'm still not the song leader guy, but I have friends. So if you will allow me, I'd like to introduce you to one of his songs. We're going to sing it. We're going to learn it. We're going to put words on the screen. And this song is called Don't Let Us Get Sick. We're going to learn it. We're going to sing it. We're going to have a great time. And then we're going to talk about it some more.
Thank you.
So, okay. A secular song, you know, but it's funny. I think he was accused a lot of being sort of a morbid songwriter. A lot of his songs have death as a theme. Even before he was diagnosed with cancer, the two albums immediately before he was diagnosed, one was called Life Will Kill You, and then the next one was called My Ride's Here, which was a reference to a hearse, if you listen to the song. And he sort of got accused of this song being a little bit morbid, and actually hearing him do it live one time, he actually says, no, this is a song of redemption. This is a song of hope, because we all need more songs of hope. And I just, it's come to me over and over and over this week, right? Whether we are or we aren't, don't let us be sick. Don't let us act sick. Don't let us own that. Don't let us get old, right? Don't be ridiculous. Don't let us get stupid, right? It's that irreverent tone that I think we have to take, that we have to embrace. Make us be brave. Make us play nice. Please, Lord, make us play nice. But most of all, let us be together tonight, tomorrow night, wherever we are. Let us stay together, right? And then you continue to track through the song, and from the first time I ever heard it, are you kidding me? The moon has a face, and it smiles on the lake, and it causes the ripples in time. I'm lucky to be here with lots of people that I love who maketh my spirit to shine. Right? How much of that have we talked about this week? All of it. Right? I was a little sad that earlier in the week Barbara got to quote Bob Dylan. I was hoping that, you know, that would be my role this week, but whatever. I did tell my children that, you know, if all else failed, that I would just kind of stand here and throw Billy Joel lyrics at you, you know, like, slow down, you crazy child, you're so ambitious for a juvenile. But I do like that thought of that ripple in time, right? And you know, and if I get to, maybe if she gets Bob Dylan, I get to quote the Grateful Dead, right? That kind of that ripple in still water. Right? And which are you? Are you the pebble or are you the ripple? Right? Which do you want to be? Which can you be? So this is not at all what I expected or what I'd planned to do, but thank you to the Rainies and thank you to Elvie for indulging me. They made it seem like it was really easy, and hopefully it wasn't, because we really did this about an hour ago, right? So This is they're on my preparation timeline tonight. So it carries me back. I told you that the kind of the first time I got here, and I think that this is a fairly common experience. You know, some of you that are here for the first time, I often described as walking into somebody else's family reunion, right? And there's everybody's hugging and oh. Anders, you're so hunky, and, you know, it's, how was your year? And it's weird. It's a little uncomfortable, but it doesn't feel altogether wrong, right? Because you're sort of next to this love energy. You know, you may not be sort of in the middle of it or consumed by it, but just knowing that it's near and sort of feeling that compassion and that love, it's not bad. But I still think back to the first time I left. And you know, I told you I came all the way up here without Susan, but she went home with us. And I remember sitting in the car and people crying as we left. And I still, you know, I was still only, you know, whatever, 6 days into the whole Winnie experience. So I still didn't quite get it. But they cried, And we sort of sat and looked out the back window, you know, all the way down the road, just to preserve, just for a few more moments, the experience and the bind that we have while we're here. My second year, I cried when we left, right? Because it doesn't take much. It's, you know, the first year I was, I remember I saw the roster. I was, you know, it was Susan Krall and Friend. So I was in Friend. By the second year, I think my name was actually on the list. And I'd made it, right? Because your first time back, it's now your family reunion. Right? Again, it's not a big investment. It's not a whole lot. But the difference between that first trip in and that second trip in is phenomenal. Right? And the smiles that you see and the people that maketh your spirit to shine are here. Right? So what I think I'd like to do, and this is I don't know. This is purely lifted, but I think that what I would like to do is I would like for people to talk about what they are thankful for this week. It's been a long time since we've done anything like this. We used to call it the sharing service. And I figure we got about 18 minutes, 17 minutes left here. Is there anybody up for that? All right, because I felt very led that way all afternoon. And I got a lot more here. I could talk about stuff. We could talk about the Minuteman. We could talk about, you know, how you model your day after CFO. But I was very inspired by last night. I would call it one of the best messages I've ever received here. And one of the big takeaways for me was taking a moment to record what you're thankful for. So people are up for that? We can pass the microphone around? We can stand around? Yeah? All right, so I'll go first. I had to set it up first. I am so incredibly thankful for this opportunity this week. You have no idea what this has meant to me to be part of your camp and the hugs and the love and the genuine appreciation I felt. You know, I've never done this before, not like this. I mean, I do public speaking. I'm not afraid of a microphone or a crowd, but this is an interesting group, right? To try to keep a teenager in the back happy and you lot in the front happy. It's an interesting balance, and I really, really had no idea how this was going to go. Sarah asked me, Sarah Mount, in the middle of the week, if I was having fun. And it was hard to answer. You know, I'm still not deep enough into it. But I think I can answer that now. I think, yeah, this has been a lot of fun. And I feel really, really blessed. And I'll toss this out there because it's something I think that everybody should do. I think we should look at a process where we tell about 80 of you that you need to prepare a talk, because the what you go through to prepare the talk so makes your week at camp better. The introspection and the process that you have to go through, and then we draw lots, right? Or was it, I don't know who said it, was it David that was saying maybe we could even do like TED Talks? Right? Instead of doing full talks, like everybody prepares like a 15 or 20 minute talk, and in one evening we could bring up two or three people to give sort of a micro message. I can't tell you what it does to your soul and to your preparation for camp. So thank you to the council ring. Thank for everybody that prayed me here. I hope that, you know, I passed the audition. And it's really, that is what I'm most thankful for. Beyond just having the ability to spend the week with my family. This is the first year in a while we've had like all five of the Kerrs and mom and papa here, and Yeah, that's been pretty spectacular too. There's nothing that compares to that, to walking across the yard and seeing everybody. So that's what I'm thankful for. Maybe that's only two things, but that's enough. So who's up? Who has one thing, two things?
Is this microphone working?
Yes, Jay.
Mic check.
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah.
I think that was a setup. Checks in the mail. All right. Hot mic. Ask for mic check. Next year we can take mic credit cards. All right. Who has something to add? Don't be shy. Well, come up here, Jay. This cable's not that long.
This is my friend Gerald, who's also called Jay, and I'm John, who's called Jay. And I love being the only Jay someplace because there's lots of Johns. So 2 years after I got here, this Jay shows up. So he's Jay of the South, and I'm Jay of the North. But I had a prayer. When I started coming here in 1981, I've only missed 1 year, and that was the year my mother passed. And it's blessed my life immeasurably. And I had a prayer, and my prayer was if I ever had a child, that she would love CFO as much as I did. And this year was a real treat because Christy just got her license. And as we were driving here, she was driving, and I turned to her and I says, isn't this cool? Not only are we going to Winnie, your most favorite place in the world, but you're driving through the gates. And the special thing was she brought a friend this year, Lila. So our CFO connection is growing. And I was really blessed this week. I had a lot of healing. I came here with the door to my heart shut. And I'm leaving with the door to my heart open. And it was the grace that lubricated the rusty hinges. So I thank Glenn Clark, I thank God, and I thank all of you. Thank you, Jay.
Very good. Thank you.
So I'm about 1,000 miles outside my comfort zone. And this is a big step for me, and I came in with one family, and I'm leaving with several, and it's a big deal.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy,
Tommy. We brought her out of her shell.
So I first came here about 6 years ago, and I remember sitting by myself a lot at mealtimes. I felt like all the tables already had their families going, and I was kind of trying to, I ended up spending the week with the other new people that week. And this year, several of you have come up and said that, you know, this feels like your home now, and that feels like a huge step. So I'm grateful for the peace I feel here and the welcome, and I'm glad to hear that the new people now are feeling more of that welcome. So thank you.
Everybody says this is family, and it really is family. Let me think about this. I've been coming here 45 years. So this is a pretty big family, and we have people who aren't here who we still remember that are part of this family. And maybe this is your first camp. Now you have family. So, the thing about family is, family's family, right? So you're at camp, and you know these people, and you might know them from prayer group, and you know them from this or that or whatever, and we're family. So then you go on counseling, and then they say, oh, well, when you go on counseling, now you're going to find out everything. You're not going to know how the sausage is made. And, you know, or you're going to find out other stuff. And you know what? What you find out? You find out that we're family. You find out that, you know, we've got different things and we're coming from different places, but we're still family. Then you become registrar. And then people say, oh, now you're really going to know how crazy everybody is because they're going to call you with all this crazy, foolish stuff, and they're going to show up without telling you and all kinds of stuff, you know? And you know what? You're really happy to see people when they show up, even if they didn't tell you they were coming. And we're all family. So no matter how deep you go, no matter how much we disagree or might have a different point of view, we still all love God. And we love this place. And when it comes down to it, we all love each other.
I'm one of those people that has to fight to keep from fainting if I'm standing up here in front of people. I don't want to have to speak right into it. I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but I have two thoughts. One is, when I started coming, I think it was about 38 years ago, it took me 4 or 5 years before I felt worthy of being here. It wasn't because people weren't friendly. I just stayed in the periphery, and I do that a lot. I've always enjoyed sitting by the bonfire when people are having a fire, but at a distance out on the rock, you know, under the stars, and looking over at the light and loving. I'm feeling like there are angels over there, and I'm watching them, and I'm with them, but there's no pressure. And then Jonathan Rokes would, every morning before breakfast, come give me a big hug in those first years, as he always does, or always did with new people, and looked out for people who needed somebody to welcome them to camp, and so I'm very grateful for that. And then the same kind of thing happened. Now, I mean, of course, I don't feel that way anymore. I mean, it's been years. I feel very much at home here. But then in life, I was falling apart a couple years ago, and again, Jonathan Rokes, I called and said, I'm falling apart, and he said, I'm going to come pick you up. Do you mind dogs? Do you mind kids? Do you mind tight spaces? And picked me up and took me to their house, and I had a wonderful week and got to know the kids. And then they said, you can't leave here till you tell us the date that you're coming back. And so I feel that was people from Winnie behaving as though we were at Winnie all the time, living the Word of God, you know, doing what Christ would do. It was such an example to me, so I want to thank you guys for that, because that saved me during a really rough time. And then I want to thank everybody, because for the last 7 or 8 years, it's been a really tough time, and I've been very isolated when I'm not at camp. I've been in a cabin way out, living alone, often not able to walk for, you know, a year and a half of that time, not able to lift a teacup part of that time, and no friends anywhere nearby. So it's been rough. And so I come here and I try to, you know, seem like everything's fine, but then I'll walk through and I'll see people playing cards, who I don't know that well other than having seen them here for years, or I'll see somebody who's on their way to something important, and I'll just start to talk and keep talking. Things will pour out because I actually haven't talked to them for 10 years and they don't know what's happened in the meantime, and I have to tell somebody. And so what I'm most thankful for is that's okay here. It's okay to fall apart. It's okay to cry. People aren't going to hold it against you. They'll still ask you to help with something, you know, a few minutes later, and you feel useful. And I am so thankful that I'm dug in enough in this family, which happens after, if you're not as stubborn as I am, happens after your first couple days here, really. You know, you don't have to be as stubborn as I am and sit on the sideline for years, but this really is my spiritual home, and I want to thank you all so much, because I really would not have survived these last few years, and I feel very strong and very solid because of contact with people here, outside of camp, in camp, and even people that I don't even talk to, but I see across the campus and just wave, and we've talked in years past. I'm very grateful for all of your love. Thank you.
twofer.
Well, Jay keeps looking at like we're raising our hand, but at Shasta camp we go like this, bless you, and right. People don't, yeah, right. We don't clap, so we weren't just waving to speak. I feel we always feel very blessed to be here. It is this is a luxury camp for us. This is a luxury camp. There are bathrooms 3 feet from my bed. You know, at Shasta, we have to run. Yes, there is a bed. There are sheets. All these are luxuries, and the music is a luxury, and the variety of art materials is a luxury, and the art and the location is such a luxury, and just all of you are it's just a luxurious experience. In a lot of ways, a spiritual, luxurious experience. And I am very grateful to have been able to do some rhythms this week. I didn't think I'd be able to, because last week I couldn't do them. So.
Okay. I just want to say, I'm done being emotional. You don't have to worry about me not singing again, so it's okay. But your voices are so beautiful, and Christy and Denby singing in my ear, oh my gosh. I want to thank my wife for being so brave to get on the plane. She didn't know whether a concussion would be an issue. She's brave enough to do it. Very proud of you. Amen. I want to thank my son, who is so busy at his engineering project that he took the time to come. Thank you, Danny. And I want to thank all the beautiful young people from this youth group and in previous ones that are still here. And this week, I was just very conscious that what was happening with me in the youth group was I was channeling God's love to these kids, and it was overwhelming at times. You got to know how much God loves you in this camp. You got to know that. And so whether we'll be here again, we don't know what the future is. People can say they know what the future is. God says, don't say you know what the future is. Say, if God wills it, we'll be back. We will. Winnie, we love you. God bless you. Thank you.
And happy anniversary. All right, last word, you ready? You have the last word, so make it count.
It's a lot of pressure. So I hate talking to Mike, it's so weird. When Andrews told me about this camp, I was like, yeah, great. Honestly, I was like, what am I getting myself into? But I came here with no expectations and an open heart and an open mind, and I'm so glad I did, because I feel more exhausted than I ever have, but also somehow more awake and alive than I have in a while. So I'm so thankful for that Anders brought me here and that I get to share this time with everyone. I feel also very emotional. The whole week I've cried several times, but also just, it's very powerful. You guys have built a beautiful thing here, so I'm really grateful that I got to share it with everyone. Thank you.
All right, so thank you for that. Certainly, if you feel like you didn't get a chance to say something, I hope that you will join our Facebook page, join the Winnie Net. We do have places where you can say things like that throughout the year, where we can stay in touch. Hold on, I got to log in here. And I appreciate it. That's not, again, that has had that 4 hours ago, I had no idea that I wanted to do that. But I just felt like this wasn't about me. It wasn't about me closing it up. It was about the camp sort of closing it down. So hang on 1 second. If you want, you can go ahead and stand, because we're going to pray together. And in fact, if you would, let's sort of like squish together a little bit. There's like a lot of space. Come the back, come up front here. And what I really need, hey, Barbara, will you come up here with me? So like the song said earlier this tonight, touching is allowed. So real quick, before we get to the 9 o'clock prayer, repeat after me.
Our Father,
in whom all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden,
unfold to us the right ideas
at the right time,
that we may become bearers of your light,
to go bless and serve mankind. Is that fair? Reasonable? I've had an unbelievable time this week, and thank you very, very much for indulging my whims. I've learned more than you possibly could have learned from me, so thank you very much. And with that, Dana,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.